The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, he does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle because the harvest has come." Jesus also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. For those of you who know me well, you know that I lived in Kuwait. It was about 6 years after the first Gulf War, and much of the city and the desert were still decimated from that. They were still building back. You may recall that at the end of the war, there were massive fires in the oil fields that caused extensive ecological destruction. And so to be there 6 years after, you could still see where the ecology of the coastline and the Gulf waters and the desert were still trying to come back from the destruction that had happened. And around the oil fields, because there were so much problems over there, grazing actually moved out to other parts of the desert. And so it was somewhat decimated. To add to that, Kuwait, and I would say my friends would agree with me, they were rich in money, but not rich in understanding the need for ecology and how to make that work, and how to preserve what we have been given. And so I was driving along one day out to the far areas of the desert. I had friends who had what's called a farm. It is a farm out in the middle of the desert, where, quite frankly, you can see Bedouin fires at night and the oil fields at first light. So for the U2 fans, it's a true story. But I was driving out there. Normally the drive out is just kind of this plain, desert, barren, and there are kind of like some hills over here, and there's not much. And I used to think, man, you know, in California, you know, we have some growth in our, we have an ecosystem in our desert, and this is just so barren, and it's not the beautiful sands that you think of Saudi Arabia. It's just kind of gray all the time. And so I was driving along, and I suddenly saw this area that had been quartered off, I'm going to say an acre or two. And in the middle of it were all of these plants, these shrubs, these desert flora going wild. And I was fascinated by it. And what was going on is that someone had decided to do a project to see what would happen if they cornered off this area of the desert and nobody camped there and nobody grazed there and nobody ran around in four-wheel vehicles over it, what would happen? And what happened was the desert grew back. And it was amazing to see that. And suddenly I understood that the desert literally needed to repopulate itself. It needed the opportunity to let creation come back and exist again. And every time I've gone back to Kuwait in the past 18 years, not every time, but almost every time, I still get to go out to farm and hang out. And I can see the desert continue to reassert itself, not as full as it was in that one area, but it's less barren. and I can watch the wild scrub and the little dub lizard come back into the area. You know, and it's true, the same is true about the kingdom of God, because there is nothing in the kingdom of God that is meant to be permanently barren. You heard at the end of the Corinthians reading, what is old has gone away and what is new is coming into being and will live. That's the kingdom of God. There may be places that lie fallow for a time or even go through death and destruction, but like that, like the desert, words like regeneration and new life and resurrection after destruction and propagation, these words come to mind as we look at this morning's texts to find, are you ready for it? Fertile ground. In pondering the gospel reading, and considering that notion of coming back from nothing and growth just happening naturally, the two stories of the seeds that we get in today's gospel are perfect side by side. One is about the seed growing, how the earth just takes care of that growth on its own. It gets a little help from the sower. The sower may water or weed around it, but the actual growth, the bursting out of that seed pod and breaking up through the soil, that is the seed and the earth and the sun working together. And it's that which produces a harvest. The sower can't make the seed do that. The sower can only sow the seed and lend care and devotion as best as possible to the conditions. And then we have the second parable about how the tiniest of seeds can just run rampant and have wild, crazy growth and have a large impact on the world around it. I like these two parables side by side as they emphasize that we have to participate in the sowing. You and I are the sower of seeds for God's kingdom. But the truth is, we can only sow the seed. The rest is up to the Holy Spirit. And so if we can sow the seeds and do the watering and weeding, but we don't know where the Holy Spirit can take us. You see, it's a both and. We have to be involved, and then we have to also stand back and let God do God's work. We plant seeds, and then we see what happens. And what is nerve-wracking about that is we don't always know where that will take us. And I think that when we read the parables, especially these, who's heard a mustard seed parable before, right? You all know this isn't one where you're like, wow, is this in the Bible? No, we're all really clear. We've heard of the mustard seed, right? But when we're like, oh, we get it, plant our seed, watch it grow, isn't that great? When we think we have the message, we're losing what Jesus really has. It's why they say Jesus spoke in parables, but then had to go off and explain it to the disciples, because even they weren't getting the deeper meaning. We have to go deeper into the parable. One of my favorite biblical commentators who is writing these days is David Loess. And he wrote, and he's written many times on the mustard seed, but he wrote recently that parables, I love this, parables are meant to overturn. Parables are meant to deconstruct what we think is easy. Parables are actually meant to cause frustration and if you stay with the parable through the topsy-turvy, through the change, you will see transformation. You see, when we plant our seeds and we let them go where they will, when we allow them to grow as they choose, when we allow the Holy Spirit in there, we lose control over the situation. Because it's not up to us for the actual growth to happen. We sow our seeds, but it's the Holy Spirit who shows up to produce the harvest. It's the Holy Spirit who spreads the idea across a community. Now, we have work to do in our daily lives. We do have work as Christians because we are called to engage in bringing about God's kingdom, which is already here and not yet. And the question is, how do we sow our own seeds? You see, as a church community, we are engaging in a capital campaign. I think everybody's heard about it, but if not, posters are in the parish hall. Talk to any vestry member. We can tell you about it. But we're doing a capital campaign to improve our buildings so that more people in our community can use our space. And I'll tell you, kind of like the desert, we've had our barren, fallow years, right? We've had times when the pews weren't as empty, when people didn't want to be here, and yet we are in a growth pattern, and we want people. We want the birds to come and nest in our branches. And so we are planting seeds through this capital campaign, and who knows? Who knows what will grow when we finish our projects? Because we don't yet. We have an idea, but we don't know what the harvest will look like. And I can tell you, as soon as the construction trucks pull up to the side, we are going to have some growing pains. We'll get back to those little construction trucks in a minute, because you're going to have a project with them. You are going to have a project. I'm going to have a project. But we're going to have some growing pains. Yet in the end, we do this because we live in the hope of transformation. We live in the hope of transformation, not just for us sitting here. We live in the hope of transformation for those out in our community, for those who shop at Vons and wonder what that weird building is on the other side of the church, for those who live down the street and wonder what goes on in here on a Sunday morning. We have the possibility of transformation. We don't know how the Holy Spirit is going to take us and change us and transform us, but we have the job of planting the seeds, doing the work of watering and weeding, and together we will see what grows. Going back to Kuwait, you might wonder what happened due to these small little experiments out in the middle of nowhere. I don't know if it's a direct result, but I would like to think so. Due to these beginner areas of growth in the 90s, there is now a nature preserve in Kuwait where not only the flora has been reestablished, but the fauna, the animals have been brought back also, and apparently you can see falcons and even the desert deer and some of the other wildlife has been returned and reintroduced. And that is 127 square miles, which I get when you look at our national parks, that is a drop in the bucket, but when you compare it to the size of the country, it's pretty amazing. One small experiment that I'm sure frustrated a few and seemed odd to a whole bunch of other people driving by has turned into a deeper appreciation of the gifts we've been given in creation. And so I wonder what are the seeds that we need to sow corporately as a parish? What are the seeds that each of you have in your pocket, and you need to pull them out and you need to sow them in your own lives? I wonder what seeds we are planting through this building project that we aren't even aware of. And I don't ask you this rhetorically because I'm coming back to those construction trucks. because I believe part of planting is prayer. I can guarantee that because I've been praying on my tomato plants for 2 months now. Every day, please. Prayer is part of planting. So I ask you this, as a sower of seeds, as each of you as sowers of the seeds, I want you to pray. I want you to pray for God to tell you what seeds you have that need to be planted and tended for you. And what seeds do we have at St. Cross that we need to plant and tend to ourselves as we move forward. And hopefully next month, please God, next month, when you come to church and you start to see things a little bit dustier, and you see construction trucks and you can't get in where you are, you know what that is? That is a call to prayer. It is a call to prayer. You think I'm joking. You definitely pray for the staff, but pray. Pray that as we go through this, as we go through the deconstruction and the reconstruction and the transformation, that we will be transformed. Pray to ask God, what will you have us do with the gifts that we have been given? What are you calling us to do with the seeds that we have sown? And how are we called to bring about God's kingdom here in the South Bay? So together I'm going to get us started with the sowing of prayers, lest you think I am not serious. I am. So let us pray. Lord of the harvest, your word finds a home in our heart. It calls us into community and invites us to be generous in service to the human family. Bless with courage and spirit your priestly people. Call us continually. Remind us we are called into the full participation in the one body of Christ. May we who hear your word this day be called to sow, tend, and harvest what your breath, your spirit brings into being. For you are the giver of all life. O God, our creator and sustainer. Amen.